Hey. Woo, we are here. Another beautiful day. My goodness. Praise God. Yeah, so we are firing on all cylinders. We are on YouTube Live, Facebook Live, and we are recording the podcast. It is me, Dr. Letitia Webb, and I am the woman who prayed and painted to clear the muddied waters in my marriage and to heal my emotional pain. And then I took that artwork and used it as inspiration. And I actually have some stuff to show you on today. I wanted you to check out the framed artwork. Look at that. So this piece of art is just absolutely beautiful. We have the You Good postcard, which is one of the check-in pieces of art in the check-in series. Okay, and what is that black and white background? It is actually a page from one of my coloring books. As you see, we have this beautiful black and white abstract background with the black and white bold graphic You Good card in a 7x7 square frame. All right, so you can get this in a set of four for $25. Check it out. So I am just so grateful for what God is doing. This is the You Good. Then we have the Ayo. See that? We have the What It Be. What It Be. And we also have, I think this is my absolute favorite, I See You. It is just so powerful to be seen. And especially, and I think I've shared this with you guys before, especially if you were in an environment where you were not seen, where you were not appreciated, where you were devalued, disliked, despised. Amen. And to be, it doesn't even necessarily have to be in a full environment, but to encounter someone who sees you, who gets you, who appreciates you. And the encounter I had with a gentleman on yesterday, it was so powerful that I had to call my husband and say, wait. I mean, this man was able to just say, sis, you are from another world, sis. Your energy, your vibe. Of course, he wasn't necessarily a Christian per se, but I understood what he was saying. It was something about me that was extraordinary. It was something about me that shifted the atmosphere when I walked in the room. It was something about me that when I spoke, he knew instantly that I was not an ordinary person. And it was just so powerful for this gentleman to see me. Amen. And when someone sees you, it just really encourages your spirit. So here is another check-in card. This one says, I'm checking in. What's up? Make sure that you guys see it on YouTube. All right. And this is the I See You. All right. This is it in its postcard form. You have a postcard. Okay. And it comes with the envelope. We sell these 8 for $10. All right, so if you are interested in getting postcards, amen, make sure you reach out to me. They are 8 for $10. We need to check in on people. I am a living testimony that we go through things that we cannot share with anybody. We go through things and no one has a clue of what's really going on deep on the inside. I know I'm speaking to somebody right now. We go through things because wisdom tells us to keep our mouth shut. We go through things and we're not surrounded by people who have our best interests at heart. We go through things and we're surrounded by people who have a history of gossiping or judging. So we got to keep our mouth shut, or we just simply surrounded by people because the pain is just too great, or it's too shameful or too embarrassing, or we don't have strong relationships in our lives where we could share at a deep, intimate level. Amen. And so that is why I created the check-in cards. It is so imperative that we check in on people because we never know what people are going through. So if you would like to get your check-in cards, please let me know. Send me a message if you have my number directly, or send me a DM or message and let me know, and I'll make sure that you get your cards. You get 8 cards for $10, or if you would like the framed artwork, a set of 4 that 7x7, that is 4 for $25. Amen. Let's see who is with us this morning. Ooh, we have Deacon Johnson. God bless you, Deacon Johnson. It is wonderful to see you this morning. And then we have Terry. God bless you, Terry. It is wonderful. So let's do what we came to do, which is pray, process our information in our devotional, God resilient, and pursue God's word. Amen. Let's go ahead. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you. We praise you. Father God, we thank you. You're good. You are kind. You are loving. You are giving. You are forgiving. You are a provider. You are a healer. You are wonderful, God. Oh my God, we can't fathom you. Oh, Father God, you sit high, Lord God, and you look low, Lord God. You care for us. You love us. You died for us. You took the keys of death and Hades on our behalf. You showed us your scars. You walked with us. You talked with us. You don't leave us. You don't forsake us. My God, my God, my God, you are the maker of heaven and earth. Lord God, we worship you. Lord God, we honor you. Lord God, we praise thy holy name, Lord Jesus. Continue, Father God. We plan our way, but you continue to order and direct our steps. Lead us down paths of righteousness for thy name's sake. Lead us down the narrow way that leads to life, Lord God. We love you, Father God. We yield ourselves to you. We humble ourselves before you. We open up our hearts to you and only you, Lord God. Have your way in us. We choose to be vessels of honor, fit for your use, Lord God. We yield ourselves to you. Speak to us. Speak through us. Have your way in us, oh Father God. Use us to be a blessing unto your people. We love you, Lord. Give us wisdom. Give us insight, Lord God. Let there be light. Show us something that we've never seen before. We will write thy word on the tablet of our hearts, Lord God, so we won't sin against thee. We love you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. So yes, y'all, we are still on this series of, or the topic of, kingdom value. Amen. And like going back to what I was saying earlier, when you are seen by someone, a complete stranger sees you, acknowledges you, appreciates you, and there was no funny business in it at all. But it's very rare that someone sees you, gets you, honors you, appreciates you, recognizes your energy, and just knows that there is something about you. And it was a great opportunity because he asked me, he says, sis, what is it? Because he knew that it wasn't me. He's like, sis, what is it? You know, and I was like, it's Christianity, you know, it's God. I'm just so grateful that I was able to give honor and glory to God. Amen. And so just keep doing whatever it is that God tells you to do. You are seen, you are recognized. Amen. You have kingdom value. You have spiritual capital. And a lot of times it's not about the title or the position. Are you submitted to God? Are you doing what the Lord told you to do? Are you in line with God? Amen. I love y'all so much. Like I shared with you, you are one of the reasons why I get up. I keep myself as a person of integrity, because I cannot minister every morning and live a double life. Amen. So I thank you for sharpening my iron. Amen. And doing what we have to do before the Lord, which is go into all ye the world and share the gospel and make disciples out of nations. Amen. All right. So we have been talking about Samson. Woo! And we are on the series of relationship dynamics, honey. I don't even know how to recap yesterday. It was just, oh, thank you, Terry, so much. I love you, mama. It was just one of those things that I was led by God, and I can't even recap. Like, it was just so much there on yesterday when we talk about Samson and being introduced to Samson as an adult, as a grown man. And the first thing that we see about Samson is that he goes down to Timnah and he sees a young Philistine woman, and he went back to his father and mother and told them, I have seen this woman in Timnah. Now go and get her as my wife. It's like, what a way to introduce somebody. I mean, we know of him. We know who God called him to be. We know who God wanted him to be. We know that God had an assignment on his life. We know of his parents and how his parents responded to the announcement of his birth and how to rear him and the purpose on his life. We learned all about that in chapter 13. But I don't think I was ready for chapter 14. It's like, oh, this is Samson. This is the man, you know, that we just learned about, that his parents had this awesome spiritual experience to the point that the father thought that he was going to die because they had seen God. And then the first thing we see is that he looking at this Philistine woman and he want to marry her, you know. So I just think that is just so interesting how God leaves. We don't know how Samson is, but let's just pretend, you know, is 18. And again, this is me pretending. What if he was 18? We like miss like 18 years of his life, and then boom, bam, you know, here he is. I don't know how old Samson was in chapter 14. I just know that it was a huge gap, and this is what we learn about him, like, you know, as an adult. So that's just very interesting. But we also found out too that what may seemingly look like someone's responding in the flesh, what may seemingly look like someone is not living up to their assignment, what seemingly looks like someone's sin or idiosyncrasies or fetish may be too strong, excuse me, or their propensity, amen, what seemingly looks like that, we learn that, oh, that came from the Lord, amen. And that is in Judges chapter 14, verse 4. Now his mother and father did not know that this was from the Lord, who wanted the Philistines to provide an opportunity for a confrontation. How God setting you up for a fight? Come on now. How God gonna instigate a fight? God's ways are not our ways. So many times we think it's the enemy. So many times we think it's us. But if you yielded your life to God, if you committed your life to God, if you said, Lord, have your way, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you say that, if that is your prayer, if you believe that, if you stand on that word, honey, what if God is setting you up for a fight? What if God is setting you up for a confrontation? Have you ever, and we know, we did what we thought God told us to do, and the moment we get there, there's resistance. The moment we get there, there's a fight. The moment we get there, there's an issue. The moment we get there, there's a problem. The moment we get there, people don't like us. The moment we get there, somebody got something to say. Somebody testing us. The moment. And we like, God, I know, like, did I hear? Did I not hear accurately? Did I not hear correctly? Just think about his parent. God bless you, man of God. And thank you so much, Terry. Yes, Judges chapter 14, 4. Thank you, husband. I love you, Dr. William Webb, the 4. Yes, so it's like the moment we get there, we're just like, God, I know you ain't got me up in here, God. I know this is not what you, like, did I not hear accurately? Just imagine what his parents thought. Like, okay, is this the same son who God told us that he was going to be a Nazarite and he was going to save Israel? Is this the same child? And now he wants to marry a Philistine woman? God's ways are not our ways. We got to be very careful how we judge people and circumstances. We give too much power to the enemy. We give too much credit to the kingdom of darkness. We judge people too harshly. And again, like I said, I've been saying, yes, God has made us and put us in a position to judge, but that judge is more of discerning and making an assessment so that you can understand who you are with, where you are going, what decisions you are making, who you need to do things, the when, the where, the how. If someone is honest, if they're the right person, if they have, you know, wrong motives or intentions. Yes, God gives us that ability to judge. Oh, Terry says, amen. Things are not always as they appear. Ooh, that is wonderful. I love that. That is so fitting. Things are not always as they appear. And when we look at things from the naked eye, and when we don't look at things from our spiritual eye, or we don't come up higher and ask God to show us things from an aerial view. Remember, God sits high. He sees things from the third heaven. There is nowhere that we can go to hide from God. Amen. We go up to the heavens, he's there. We go down to Shiloh, he's there. Amen. So we gotta be careful. So let's go down, because we read right all the way up to this riddle. Now, this, for me, I don't know about you, but this aspect confused me. I did not understand this part of the chapter when I read it. And maybe y'all can help a sister out as we read it. Y'all, okay? I really want y'all to jump in here and give me comments, because I didn't understand. So now let's go back up to verse 10. We are in Judges chapter 14. We have been introduced to Samson as a grown adult man. Amen. And so now God has set the stage, put this desire or this affinity, amen, of Philistine women in Samson. He sees this woman. He wants her. But it's all a part of God's will. He's trying to set up a confrontation. Now we are getting into the confrontation. Check this out. Let's start at verse 10, and I read in the Holman Christian Standard Bible. His father went to visit the woman, and Samson prepared a feast there, as young men were accustomed to do. It was a custom for the young man to prepare a feast for the woman. Okay. Relationship dynamics. If you want to be married to a woman, what are you doing? So in our society, for whatever reason, we want the woman to come equal to the table. And then if you hear a woman say, well, I want my man to do this, I want my man to do that, we judge this woman as a gold digger. We judge her as whatever the vernacular we use today. If a woman says, I want this, this, and this from a man. Amen. But it was custom for the man to have a feast. It was custom for the man to give the family a dowry for the woman. It was custom for the man to bring the woman into his home. She didn't go, he didn't go and live in her home. Why? Because customarily, she still lived with her father up until she got married. So she went from her father's house to her man's house. That's what it was customarily. There was no, the man went to go live with the woman. Okay, our society has it backwards. Don't miss that point. Look at the relationship dynamics. Look at the culture. Okay, so when the Philistines saw him, they brought 30 men to accompany him. All right, okay. Okay, God bless you. You see, so now, verse 12. Oh, Deacon Johnson says, knowing who we are in Christ is the key. Humanly, we judge first without understanding the situation. Yes, we do. God bless you. Yes, we do. So now, check this out. It was 30 Philistine dudes, okay, accompanied him. All right, y'all. Verse 12. Let me tell you a riddle. Okay. If y'all, like, I'm confused. Like, let me tell you a riddle. That's how we start this relationship. You don't know me. I don't know you. You want one of my women. We come down to you. We 30 deep. Okay, that's already a problem, honey. They come 30 deep. And then the first thing Samson says is, let me tell you a riddle. We be like, bruh, like a riddle? But let's look at this relationship dynamics. Remember, God was providing an opportunity for a confrontation. Jesus. Verse 12. Let me tell you a riddle, Samson said to them. If you can explain it to me during the 7 days of the feast and figure it out, I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothes. But if you can't explain it to me, then you must give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothes. Is that how we want to enter into a relationship? We are two completely different cultures, two completely different religions. We, the Philistines, are ruling over you, the Israelites. You came down to us and you want to take one of our women. We letting that slide. Go ahead and set up your little feast. I'm sorry, y'all. I just got to say it the way I understand it. Go ahead and set up your little feast. Okay, you know we add the word little in there when we want to be condescending to people. Anything little is not a compliment. If someone adds your little art, your little ministry, your little job, your little business, they are not giving you a compliment. I just want to let you know that. Okay, so go ahead and set up your little feast, your little 7-day feast. But then you make it so that you give us a riddle and we gotta like try to figure this out. So now you putting us in this position. Come on now, you don't meet somebody and then off the cuff put them on defense. This is about relationship dynamics. If you have kingdom value, and we're not saying that Samson did not have kingdom value, Because he did. God was using him in a way. But what I'm saying for us, like, we're not going to purposely just, like, put somebody in confrontation. Now, sometimes that happens, but it's not, we shouldn't be doing, that shouldn't be our motive. That shouldn't be our intention. We don't know who we encounter. And it just so happens, whatever the circumstance, we may put somebody on defense. You can walk in. I've had this before. I've walked into a room. I've said, hello, how you doing? That offended people. That put people on defense. It's sometimes it's just something about you, the anointing that's on your life, that people who are not of Christ or who are struggling or who are bound and are prisoners of war from the kingdom of darkness, they don't get it. So sometimes you can offend and put somebody on a defense just by being who you are. So I'm not saying that Samson did this on purpose, but it's just very interesting that he put some dudes that he don't know in this like riddle confrontation thing. But remember, this was a setup from God. So now, tell us this riddle, they replied. Let's hear it. So he said to them, so Samson said to them, out of the eater came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet. I'm sorry. That's the riddle. Okay. I don't know, y'all. I mean, I'm sorry. Don't come to me with no riddle. And I'm supposed to try to figure it out? Okay. So now, after 3 days, they were unable to explain the riddle. On the fourth day, think about it. And they only got 7 days. So now they halfway in this point. You ain't gonna punk me. Come on, y'all. Let's be real. These were real people. You ain't gonna punk us. You like a Israelite. We the Philistines. It's one of you and it's 30 of us. And it's like, but wait, it's 30 of y'all and 30 of y'all can't figure out what the riddle is? Okay, you know they heat it. Okay, you know they bring in the smoke. All right, so now, on the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, persuade your husband to explain the riddle to us. Or we will burn you. Yo, think about this. Or we will burn you and your father's family to death. Did you invite us here to rob us? This is what I'm talking about. You don't do that to people. You don't know them from a can of paint and out the gate. You like, you know, you confrontational. Out the gate, you like, all right, I'm, you know, you like, really? Look at the relationship dynamics. But let's not forget that Samson had a very specific assignment. What was that assignment? Don't ever forget Judges 13, verse 5. And the last part of verse 5 says, and he will begin to save Israel from the power of the Philistines. And don't forget, we're going to keep going back to these 2 points. Don't forget, in Judges 14:4, the Lord wanted the opportunity to provide. I mean, the Lord wanted the Philistines to provide an opportunity for confrontation. Those are 2 key points that we see that God is in control of this entire situation. Oh my God. Oh my God. Are you a warrior? Do you always find yourself having to fight? Maybe you have a warrior spirit. Maybe that warrior spirit came from God. And we're not talking in our era of dispensation, which is grace. We're not talking about physical fights. Amen. We're talking about fighting the good fight of faith. And when you fight the good fight of faith, that means that the enemy is trying to steal your faith. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy your trust. Come and steal, kill, and destroy your faith in God's word. No matter how long it takes, no matter what it looks like, no matter what's going on, don't let the enemy steal, kill, and destroy your faith. That is the fight that we're really fighting. Us in this dispensation is the fight, the good fight of faith. Amen. Where is your faith? All we need is faith the size of a mustard seed. Amen. Come on, y'all. Whew. But look at this. These 30 Philistines did not say they were going to do anything to Samson and his people. The enemy is always going to hit you at that spot of weakness. He may not do anything to you, but he'll come after your spouse. He'll come after your family. Come after your finances. Think about it. They didn't say that they were going to do anything to Samson. Now, at this time, I don't know if Samson's strength was revealed publicly. We know that there was a private display of his strength when he ripped the lion to pieces. And he didn't even tell his parents what happened. We see that. The Bible doesn't tell us as of yet that it was widely, that Samson's strength was widely known amongst the land. We don't know that as of yet. But the Philistines did not say anything about, if yo, we gonna get your man. We gonna get your man and his people. They didn't say that. They went to their own. The Philistine woman, the weaker vessel, not weak, the weaker vessel, threatened her and her family to death. This was serious. You can't go into someone's land and punk them and embarrass them. That relationship dynamics don't work. Because as we used to say, they not going to fight you heads up. They going to play dirty. And especially we used to say, they going to bank you. I'm telling y'all, okay? So now, let's go back. It says, so on the fourth day, because they nervous. They nervous now, okay? So on the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, look, go ahead and have that pillow talk. Go ahead and handle your business. Do whatever. And this is me. This isn't the word. This is me, okay? Go ahead and handle your business. Have that pillow talk with your man, okay? And explain the riddle to us. Or we will burn you and your father's family to death. Did you invite us here to rob us? We got to give up 30 pieces of linen and 30 pieces of changes of clothes. What? Over some riddle? And we only got 3 more days to figure this out? So then verse 16. So Samson's wife came to him weeping and said, you hate me. That I would feel the same way. Like, bruh, you came down to where I am. You wanted me. You had your mother and your father come to me. And then you put me in my situation with these people. It's like, do you love me? And that is exactly what she said. You hate me and don't love me. Women. That is the very first thing that we would say. How in the world could you do this to me? This isn't love. You're not going to embarrass me, embarrass my people, set us up, challenge them. You don't do that. Look at these relationship dynamics. Why would you do that? You don't even know me. We don't even know each other. We're two different people. Think about it. Why would you put me in a position with my people? You don't do that. But God had a plan. God had a purpose. Thank you, hubby. He says that's a good point. Thank you. So you hate me and you don't love me. You told my people the riddle, but haven't explained it to me. Oh, here we go. Relationship dynamics. The wife is speaking. How in the world you want me? You marry me. We have our 7-day wedding feast. You have this riddle, but you don't even like, you leave me in the dark. Now, we don't know if she wanted to know the answer beforehand, but we definitely know that now she is highly motivated to get the answer because her and her people's life are on the line. They threaten to kill her. Come on now. He wanted her. She didn't necessarily want him. So here I am married to you. And now my life is being threatened. Not just me and my mother and my father. I just left my father's house. Amen. Terry says, wow, what a way to start a relationship. I'd feel the same way and then say, I'm out. Deuces. Yes, I'm out. My name is Miss Bennett and I'm not in this mess. You put me in this mess. I ain't doing this. I ain't called for this. This is for the birds. So William Webb IV says, as they say, conflict moves things forward. Okay. She confronted her husband. Okay. And was like, look, we come on now. So look, he said, I haven't explained it to, he says, I haven't even explained it to my mother, my father or mother. Dude, but your father and your mother have not been threatened to be burnt to death like I have just been threatened. Think about the relationship dynamics. They've only been married, 4 days? And I don't know if the wedding feast is like immediately after the ceremony or if it's all a part of it. We know that they're married and we know that there's been a 4-day time of duration. That's what we know. But this is how you start something. These are the relationship dynamics. And then I'm supposed to like be your wife and perform my wifely duties. Nah, I'm sorry. Based on my human perspective, there's no empathy here. Where is Samson's empathy? He says, look, I haven't even explained it to my father or mother. So why should I explain it to you? Y'all. If that dude said that to me, after I have just been threatened to death by fire, me and my parents, and that's what you say? Come on, y'all. So what happens in verse 17? Y'all let me know y'all with me. She wept the whole 7 days of the feast. This was a real person. This was a woman who necessarily did not have a choice in the matter. I don't know. I don't know. She could have said no. I don't know the circumstances. It's not told to us. And I didn't want to read a lot of commentary for this lesson. I wanted to go line by line and talk about the relationship dynamics just from how they are real people. This woman wept for 7 days. This is her honeymoon. This chick just got married. And she's like, look at this dude who I just married. This is crazy. I've been set up. Think about it, y'all. So, she wept the whole 7 days of the feast. And at last, on the 7th day, he explained it to her. Y'all, y'all, he watched this woman suffer. He watched this woman cry. This woman thought that her, come on, this was a real person. This woman thought that her and her parents were going to be burned. She didn't even know this dude. He wanted her. How many of us have experienced a situation like that? Somebody invites you into the relationship. It may not necessarily be intimate or conjugal, but somebody invites you into a relationship and then immediately reveals their intent. And it's why did you even put me in this situation? Why would you do this? My God. She kept nagging him. He explained it to her. Then she explained it to her people. On the 7th day before sunset, the men of the city said to him, "What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion?" So he said to them, "If you hadn't plowed with my young cow, you wouldn't know my riddle now." What? If you hadn't plowed with my young cow, you wouldn't know my riddle now? He was referring to his wife as a young cow. In other words, if you did not go and put pressure on my wife or threaten my wife, where she in turn came and nagged me for the answer. And then she went, and as you know, as we say, she went and ran to you and told you the answer. You know how we get. Then y'all wouldn't even know. He said to them, "If you hadn't plowed with my young cow, Jesus, you wouldn't know my riddle now." My God. My God. Y'all, so it's like, I don't want to leave us on that cliffhanger, but I gotta leave y'all on that cliffhanger, because if I go any further, then I'm gonna get into like another point. So I gotta stop right there. I know, y'all. I know. It's like, you know, you looking at a series on TV and they leave you in suspense and you gotta wait to the next week, child. Well, now we don't have to wait till the next week because of streaming. We just go ahead and let the next episode come. But oh my God, this is where we are with this. Yo, if I was Samson's wife, I have no idea. Just none. Like, Like, I don't know what's worse. That put, like, the cherry on top. That added the insult to the injury to refer to me as a young cow. My God. What do y'all think? Y'all quiet. Come on, y'all. I need y'all to talk to me. Y'all normally be giving me, you know, some feedback. Y'all been quiet the last couple of days. What are your thoughts about this? We are talking about relationship dynamics and the kingdom value. Now, remember, we can't decrease Samson's kingdom value because he had a very specific assignment on his life. So even though we're looking at this from a natural relationship, humanly perspective, there is still a higher purpose. Don't forget Judges chapter 13, verse 3, and I want to say, or verse 4, and then Judges chapter 14, verse 4. Don't forget that God made it very clear Samson's assignment before he was even born, and that God was setting up an opportunity for confrontation with the Philistines. We cannot forget that point. That was God's purpose. But when we look at it, oh, my husband, William Webb IV, says that God was manipulating the whole situation. Child. Yes, he was. Any other comments, perspective? If you are on YouTube Live, I would love to hear from you. Anyone else on Facebook Live? Any other comments or perspectives about what the Lord shared with us on today? Amen. Whew. Y'all. My God. So, all right, y'all, no comments. So, don't forget, on tomorrow, I got some things to do. I will be back at the Hood Flea Market. Oh, so Terry says, wow, never knew this. I'm still tripping on him, calling her a cow. Yes. Okay. Oh my God. The word of God is fascinating when we really get into it. And I'm going to admit, sometimes it's hard to just kind of read it, you know, like a novel or all the way through. I mean, even though we're encouraged to read it like that, sometimes it's hard. We don't get as much out of it because it becomes like a chore, like a goal or an accomplishment to like read the Bible all the way through. But when you have the opportunity to kind of read it line by line in these instances, it just brings so much out. It's just so, I don't know, mind blowing what's in the Bible, you know? So now don't forget, I'm only going to be on Facebook Live tomorrow. I will not be recording the podcast and I will not be on YouTube Live. Amen. I'm only going to be on Facebook Live and I'm going to be en route. Amen. I'm doing some stuff. So you guys, we're still going to be on, but we're going to just have a different format in a different place. Amen. Deacon Johnson says the word of God is something powerful. Yes, it is. All right, y'all. I love y'all. If you guys want any check-in cards or check-in framed art, please let me know. You get 8 cards for $10 or you get a set of 4 quad 7x7 framed artwork for $25. All right, y'all. Mwah. I love you. Have a wonderful Friday and happy March 1st. God bless you. We'll be right back.